Well, today I want to bring to us the subject of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. I might just hold it. It would be much more easier for me. The subject of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And it is a subject that is really running through the book of Hebrews. As I was preparing, I said to myself that actually the whole point of the book of Hebrews is to reflect to us the reality of Jesus Christ, the Most High Priest, and what is for us in Christ as our Most High Priest. So Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, yes, but also He is our Most High Priest. And the Bible says, this reading says, the point of what we are saying is this. The writer of the Hebrews is saying, we do have such a high priest. And then he is going to develop that. If someone says to you, we have such a great high priest, that is inviting you to think really about this high priest that you do have. And the high priesthood in the Old Testament, because we cannot understand the priesthood of Christ in the New Testament if we don't have the background in the Old Testament. Because the people of God, they were unable to approach God. They couldn't worship without the high priest appearing before God himself with the things that we will hear, with the offerings, with the sacrifices, with intercession before God, so that opening the way for the people to come to God and to have their sin forgiven. And so here we have in this text, and I will be going to different parts of few verses, and it started off from chapter 5. And of course, if we are to do this, we will stay here forever. But I will try to just be selective in what we are doing. And the reason I'm bringing this today is because this text also, this book particularly, was written to a struggling people. A people who were tempted to give up on their faith. Have you ever got to that point where you were tempted to give up of your faith, or even the call you the Lord had on your life to do a particular things, maybe to lead a movement against abortion or homosexuality or gambling, anything that the Lord is calling you? You may say, it's too much for me. You may say, it's too much for me, when you know with all of your heart that the Lord has called you to do this. Are you facing difficulties or difficult situations where you are unable to help yourself? And are you going through a persecution because of your race or your ethnicity or your way of life? Some people can have a way of life that can be really a challenge to others, isn't it? Like people climbed a 2 meters square house, the roof, and living there for God, the hermit in Egypt and in the desert. And so to others, it was just like, what kind of life is that? Or some people to go into a desert and live in a small room, just praying and reading the scriptures. And later on, after 30 years or 50 years, writing to us the books that we read in our warm homes. And we didn't know that these men have just made that decision to sit there and write to us books that will help us spiritually to walk with God. Maybe if you didn't have that experience, I had that experience because I lived in Egypt for 12 years reading those great figures in the Christian faith. Are you facing some challenges at work where they didn't like your integrity, they didn't like your faith? You want to live a holy life, to be true. Or in social clubs where you go, they don't like you. I just like to share briefly. I was going to go to Dr. Ladjo, one of our elders. He's a vet surgeon. And then my mobile just really died, and I couldn't really find where to charge. So I decided to go to Big Pub. You know, I was so busy. So gambling, people drinking and doing everything. But they do have where you can charge your mobiles. So I was bold enough to go to that place. When I got there, I managed to charge my phone while I was waiting, and then I decided to have a drink. Just imagine what kind of drink I was going to have. An orange juice. So I filled there, and then this guy, he came up to me, he asked me, "What are you drinking?" I said, "An orange juice." So he said, "Do you want me to bring you something stronger?" I said, "Oh, no. No, this is enough." And then I started to share the gospel with this guy. And so he was so surprised that I was not really doing what they were doing. And we chatted, actually, and he said, oh, he was gambling, and he would come with $20, and he would just go away with $1,000. And I said to him, you can come also with $1,000, and you can go away with $20. And he said, oh, that is true. Yeah, so to hold fast to the true faith, it's not easy, isn't it? And so we need to be reminded of who we are. Even when things are very difficult, even when ourselves we can't understand what is going on, even as I was preparing also, I was feeling all sort of things. I said, hang on a minute. So see, the enemy is just so clever. He wants to stop us, you see, from getting into the positions where we can know the true freedom of the children of God. But if you persevere a little, you will get there. If you persevere and you hold fast with these things. So even all on the roads, when you drive, someone will just come, just like trying really to cause you to be agitated. Or you are driving and he will think like you are in a race with them. You are not in a race with them. So just to stand out for your faith can be difficult some way, sometimes. Or just lastly, in the examples I'm giving, to be a Christian in Sudan before 2011, or to be a citizen of Sudan, with ambitions to be a president, you can't be a president because that position is only reserved for Muslims. Just imagine if you have the potential to be the president in your own country, like in Australia today, if a member of our church would just decide to become the president or the prime minister, and he will be told that you can't just because of your Christian faith or anything or your race. Well, we are reminded when we face challenges ourselves as Christians that we do have a high priest, a great high priest, to help us in all our struggles. And as I said earlier, that was what really the writer was aiming at when he was writing to these people, or he was preaching to these people, because it was too much in the first century for them to bear the persecution as Christians, because it was happening. It was a pagan country, a lot of religions, different religions, and also even the Jewish people also, they were pressing on them as people who have come to have a different faith. So they were tempted to give up. We might be tempted, but we do have such a great high priest, and now he's going to tell us why. He's such a great high priest. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, the words here says, we have a high priest, a great high priest, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. The great high priest we have is in heavens, on the right hand of God. And actually the writer gave us even a hint from the very beginning when he started to write his letter. He says this: in the past, God has spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he is speaking to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So from the very beginning, he was telling us that the one who is our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who died on the cross and paid for all our sins, he is sitting now on the right hand of power, anticipating his priestly ministry. After he had provided purification, he sat for our sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Just this is declaring us. He sat down. He is our minister now. He is our priest to serve us. He finished his work on earth, and now he is sitting at the place of authority. And this is a promise being fulfilled in Psalm 110. We read this. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The word is telling us that the eternal Son of God, who has given his life for our sin, is serving us in heaven as a high priest. You may say to me, okay, do we really need a high priest like the Old Testament? Yes, we need someone like that. Because as the people of God then needed an assurance that there is a person whom God has elected, has chosen, to so that we can have an access into his presence, so we can have confidence in our heart that if we come to God, God will hear our prayers. Because I don't think most of the time when we come to God, we have this confidence. We don't have confidence that even our prayers are heard by God. Well, they don't depend on us. Our prayers, they don't depend on us. They depend on the one who is representing us before God, our Most High Priest, like the Old Testament people. So they were just so keen to follow all the regulations that if you do this, you stay away from the Holy of Holies. You don't come before God. You don't force yourself to before God. But come through the high priest. We will hear about, and as a contrast between the high priest of the Old Testament and the high priest of the New Covenant. The Most High Priest of the Old Testament, we are told that in chapter 5, that he was appointed to that office. We read that in Hebrews 5. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. So the high priest of the Old Testament is selected to represent people before God, and he himself also is a sinner, and he would come also with a sacrifice for himself. And so he was a servant of a tabernacle that was earthly, a tent of meeting that was earthly. But here we are told this high priest we have in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, is his ministry is in heavenly sanctuary. The ministry then in the Old Testament was in the earthly sanctuary. Just imagine that our approach to God, though we are sitting here, but actually is before God in heaven. The sanctuary, we are worshiping in a sanctuary that is in heavens, because our servant, Jesus Christ, our Most High Priest, is in heavens. And so they were worshiping in an earthly sanctuary, but we have access into the heavenly sanctuary. This is what he is saying. And who serves in the sanctuary? The true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. You see, the sanctuary in heaven is in the city. It's the city of God, isn't it? That is what we read in chapter 10. When it is written of Abraham, he was looking for a city that is not of this world. He was looking for a city whose architect and builder is God himself. And so you have a city and you have a sanctuary, isn't it? And also this sanctuary is not also made by man. This also should encourage us that the kind of ministry we are involved in now is heavenly, is superior to the Old Testament type of worship. And that is why we should be encouraged. And this sanctuary is said of to be the true sanctuary. Verse 2a. Is the true sanctuary, because the other sanctuary was a copy. And that is what we are going to be told in a minute. Is the true tabernacle, or the perfect tabernacle. In 9 verse 11. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. So the writer to the Hebrews is just repeating this wonderful truth. The Old Testament worshippers, they were looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now also we see that even in this sanctuary also, it has offerings, but there are better offerings. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. Well, the Old Testament high priest would come with the offerings into the Holy of Holies, because you have the tent, you have the holy place, and you have the Holy of Holies. Everybody else in the outer. And then it's only the high priest. After purification, he will come into the Holy of Holies once a year. And not without also sacrifices of bulls and goats to offer. But here we are told, not only on the behalf of the people, but also himself, he will have something to offer for himself, because he's a sinner as well. But we have such a great high priest. Who didn't need to offer something for himself, because he's the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God. We have such a great high priest who appears before God, maybe, or let me say, with a sacrifice, but it's a better sacrifice, isn't it? And this sacrifice is not anything else but himself. He offered himself once and for all, because the Old Testament's repeated sacrifices were provisional, were just helping people just to settle their conscience for just a time, and they will go back, and then they will be burdened with their sins. That is what the Bible says. It was not perfect, but at least was pointing to the perfect sacrifice. The high priest also was pointing to the perfect and great high priest, Jesus Christ. So, people like you and myself, we should have this confidence that we have such a great high priest who does not need to come with sacrifices every day or once a year, but he offered it already. And so you should have this confidence. that when we come before him, even when you feel bad about yourself, the sacrifice has been offered. You can only declare that you have a high priest, a great high priest, who appear before God. And the Holy Spirit will testify to you that he is doing this for you. And the Bible says the sacrifice that Jesus offered was appropriate for the heaven, isn't it? Because the sanctification of the sanctuary needed a sacrifice that was perfect. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices a lot. He sacrificed himself once and for all. And chapter 9 elaborates on this more and more. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. So it's just everlasting redemption. You saved once and for all. I went to a conference that I was involved as one of the leaders, and I went after they all gone, because I had to work, finish all my classes, and then I joined, and I got there at night. And there was just, in that camp or retreat, there was just a theological debate about whether as a Christian can perish or not. It was like a hot debate. Even to this day, I was invited to a forum, and they didn't invite me again, because I declared that a Christian cannot perish. A believer cannot perish. So how can you call him a believer and you say he can perish? That is not possible, isn't it? Now we go on to see why this high priest is so amazing, is so different. Now we are told also that the earthly priests or high priests, they serve at a sanctuary that was a copy. Just imagine that you are worshiping in a sanctuary or tabernacles or a tent of meeting that was pointing to something greater, and you don't have access to something that is greater. It's just like, it's just unbearable, isn't it? It's just like you are given an exam, and it's not the right exam. It's just something to waste your time with, isn't it? And then just imagine the right paper is given to other one, and then they just finish that and they go to university and you miss out. And then through bureaucracy, you will be told like, well, that was happened by mistake. And now they want to have a committee, and then they will look into it. And then just like that. So that was a copy pointing to the true sanctuary. And the believers in the New Testament, they are being reminded that really that is finished. And what you have here, you have the true tabernacle. You have the true access to the right place. And through this great high priest, Jesus Christ. So they were serving in a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. That is why Moses, when he was building this tabernacle, he was told exactly the measurements, how to do it. He was told to do it according to the patterns. And the Bible says, even though it was done according to the patterns, that was in God's wisdom, but actually was weak. Cannot bring encouragement to us. Cannot make us really radiant to persevere under persecutions. And how many days you hear this one say this about you and then you feel bad about it, and then later on you have a high priest, you present your request before him, and then the day after that you are free from preparing to go and just make a big confrontation and make yourself a fool. Just like that. Or try to just get into arguments really we are engaged in a spiritual warfare that we don't have time. We are just only to look to Jesus Christ, our most high priest. We don't want to win any argument here on earth. We cannot win it. And if you win it, if you want it, it's nothing. It will mean nothing. But they were offering those things because they were according to the law, the Bible says. Those ones were doing that, they were told. But Jesus Christ, he said he came to do that by his will. He was willing to do that. That is what Hebrews 10 is telling us. Because these chapters, they were just like developing the very aspect. Verse 8 of chapter 10. First, he said, sacrifices and offering, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. God was not pleased, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second, because the first was not really perfect. But Jesus was willing to do that. He was chosen by God, the Son of God himself. But the high priests of the Old Testament were appointed by men. Though God approved them, they were raised for that purpose. What a high priest we have. No wonder it says here. Because he was willing. He offered himself and he came to do the will of God. Well, let us go on to verse 4 of chapter 8. Verse 4 says this. If he were on earth, Jesus Christ, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. Just Jesus couldn't become, when he was here on earth, become our most high priest. Because actually the earthly priesthood was on a different level, different order. And we are told that the priesthood of the Old Testament was based on Levitical priesthood. You must come from Levi and you must be one of Aaron's sons to be the high priest. Well, Jesus, you know, he doesn't come from Levi. He comes from Judah. And so just breaking all the rules, which means this is something different. On a different order. That is why we have such a great high priest. And chapter 7 tells us this. That Jesus Christ is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a figure that really we don't know a lot about. Isn't it? That was my first question to the professor of systematic theology back in Cairo in 1994. I was just reading my Bible, and then I said, oh, this figure is so amazing. I want to know more about that. I went to his office, and then I just knocked his office, and he welcomed me, and he sat with me, and he led me to this. This Melchizedek, the Melchizedek, Jesus came in the order of Melchizedek because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purposes very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. And this is what the Lord has done. And it's impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged that our high priest, Jesus Christ, is made after the order of Melchizedek. This is what the Bible says, verse 20 of chapter 6. Where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf in the Holy of Holies. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You see, what is this Melchizedek? Who is this person? Well, the Bible tells us that Melchizedek was a king of Salem, which means king of peace. And then a priest of God, Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Melchizedek. Melik, king, and Sadiq, righteous or believer. And then also king of Salim means king of peace. Shalom, salam. Without father or mother, this is the man. Without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Like the Son of God. And this description also applies to Christ. The eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God has become our most high priest under a different order. What a high priest we have. A great high priest. Also, we are told that his ministry is superior, has superior ministry to the Old Testament priesthood. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. That is what we are told as we go on reading. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, to the Old Testament priest, high priest, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. And it is founded on better promises. Even, you see, the covenant that God made in the Old Testament was with the people. And that covenant was not enough, was pointing to the new covenant. And Jesus, the minister of the new covenant, is superior. Because this covenant is also based on better promises. What are these better promises? The promises that the sacrifice will be once and for all. You will not need any other sacrifice. Your sin will be dealt with once and for all. And then the Lord God himself in the new covenant, he will write his words on our hearts, not on our tablets. You see, we will have the Spirit of God in us. We will have the Word of God with us. This is what he's saying. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will not be like, that will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by hands. I will put my laws in their hands, in their minds, and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will need no any sacrifices, because my son, Jesus Christ, is going to sacrifice himself. His ministry is superior, because he is a mediator of a better covenant, also a better covenant that is based on better promises. So what shall we do then if we have such a great high priest? Well, the writer to the Hebrews has given us exhortations. I'd like to draw your attention to a verse that I read to emphasize the fact that this word was written to a people who are really at the verge of giving up. But they were encouraged that to hold fast to the Lord God, because the covenant that the Lord has made with them is superior and is wonderful. That is what I read earlier. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul. This is the hope we have for the soul. Firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. The curtain has been opened. We have access now, because Jesus has entered on. We are told that these people who were at the verge of giving up, they are to be strong. So he told them, let us hold fast or firmly to the faith we profess, because we have a sympathetic great high priest. That is chapter 4, verse 15. Let us hold fast. It's worth dying for. It might not be sophisticated, but really the ramification or the consequences of having a great high priest such as this. So we can hold fast regardless of what we may face, regardless of the challenges that we have. because he is sympathetic. The high priests of the Old Testament, they were unable to serve us in a way that Christ is serving us as our most high priest. Because the Bible says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses. Because we are weak like the Old Testament believers. But we have the one who is sympathetic. Let us hold fast or firmly to the faith we profess. Again, not only to hold fast, also, even in our troubles and problems, we can also approach. In verse 16, we can enter because we have a sympathetic high priest. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. I like the word confidence. Other translation, boldly also. Confidence, because the confidence that the people of the Old Testament didn't have. They didn't have that. Because the sacrifices were just repeated, they were not really sufficient to remove sins once and for all. The high priest of the Old Testament also was with weaknesses, and he would not enter into the Holy of Holies without a sacrifice to offer for himself. We should have confidence to come before God. That is what he's saying. Let us approach the throne of God boldly or with confidence to find mercy. To find mercy. Even the throne of grace, it was not the throne of grace. It was the throne of judgment, isn't it? You have to come with sacrifice to appease God. Anger. But now the throne of God has become the throne of grace for us. Because we have a great high priest who is sympathetic, who has entered and seated on the right hand, who has offered himself, who is in a sanctuary that is not built by human hands. We can be confident that is perfect. We'll meet God's requirements. Let us enter. Let us enter. Bring your requests, your prayers, and let us not be religious, because one of the weird things among the Reformed Christians is the thing that they will pray, oh Lord, do this, but according to your will. Well, look, we know he will do his will all the time, isn't it? So let God be God and human be human. Just bring your request. You know, if I have pain, I would want to be healed, isn't it? Okay? So let him decide. Maybe the decision, he wants to heal you. So if you want to enter into the throne of God to pray, pray request that other people may not like, well, do it. Let God decide himself. You have access. Then we don't have other mediators. We have Jesus, and he's a good judge. He will know exactly what he will do for you. So let us enter with confidence and to find grace to help us in our time of need, in our time of needs, because we have such a great high priest. Let us draw near to God with sincere heart in full assurance of faith. 9:22. These are the exhortation based on the fact that we do have a great high priest, such as this, to draw near with sincere faith. You don't have to have done something good to come to God. You don't have to have made it right to come to God. You come to him so that he can make it right, isn't it? In our great needs, let us not try ourselves. And then also in chapter 12, because we have such a great huge cloud of witnesses, people who have faith, we have heard of in chapter 11. Even those people, they were living under those sacrifices, isn't it? And they were recorded as heroes of faith. They were Old Testament heroes of faith. Even that imperfect service ministry, also God in his mercy, he has kept for himself a people. How much more with us, who have such a great high priest, we should be listed, all of us be listed as heroes of faith. Let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. 12:1. Because we have a great high priest. So you're struggling with something? You can come to Jesus. Any addiction? You can bring to Jesus. Fear of high places? Bring it to Jesus and pray. Fear of man? You can bring it to Jesus. And when we say man, man can be a woman as well. It's a woman, it's a generic word for both. We have such a great high priest. Where are you standing? Do you have confidence to come to God when you come? Or you need someone, unless you have someone to help you pray. Yes, there is a place there. But you need to know this. That is why today we are encouraged to think of Jesus Christ, our most high priest. Just to finish, what a great high priest we have. We need his ministry today. We need his intercession. We need his view as a high priest. Have we come into the sanctuary? Or we do prayers that do not enter into the throne of God because it is not based on his sacrifice. It's not based on his mediation. It's not based on what he says of the covenant he has made with us, the new covenant that he himself has made and fulfilled all the conditions for us. We have such a great high priest, and everyone who is sitting here today should have this confidence and access into his throne of grace, because this is what he wants of us. He wants us to worship. He wants us to have confidence in our God and all that he has done for us. We may face difficulties and problems, and it's okay. As they say, it's life. But it is not okay not to take our burdens and our troubles to our God, who has called us to himself, and he has declared and promised that he will bless us. He will redeem us. He will strengthen us. He will encourage us. Even when we are persecuted, he will send a message like this so that we hold fast to the faith. Because even if they kill the outer, the flesh, they can never kill our spirit. They can do anything. And Jesus Christ, our most high priest. Amen.